Jim Crosby's brother, the Crosby Agency. And at that time, Kristen Hofel was the assistant, was an assistant to Crosby. So when he opened his office, he took me along with him. So I was doing two things. That's how I became an agent, because I couldn't collect commissions. And then finally, then the Screen Actors Guild found that really that you can't do two things at once, so you better choose one or the other. So I chose to become an agent so that I could have my own business instead.
Now, could you tell us who were some of your first clients? Or, well, before we go into that, how did you go about, you know, getting, clients? Or were there many Asian actors and actresses out in the community? Who were some of your clients?
No, there weren't, but everybody feels that, oh, working in the picture is so glamorous, so much fun. So they all call and wanted to know if there isn't a job for them. And sometimes in a great big call like that, I would call up my friends like Jane Chung, or do you have someone that would like to work in pictures? Sometimes I have to get as many as 500 soldiers or whatever. So try to call up 500 people on the telephone, and many times you dial them, they're not at home or their line is busy. So therefore, I had my little lieutenants like Jane Chung and some of my other friends, my Japanese. I said, now, there's a call. If you can get me 10, call me back. And then they would call me back. I had two phones at home. And so they would call me back. That's how I accomplished my 500 people. And most of the time, I would call up Central Casting and give them the name. They had people working all night in order to make the vouchers so that the next morning, when the people go there to work, they get the vouchers and be paid. Otherwise, if you don't have a voucher, you don't get paid. And speaking over 500 people, I couldn't do that. So I would drive. At that time, I was living on 20th Street. I had to drive all the way up to Western and Hollywood Boulevard to deliver these 500 names. But I loved it. I only had 4 hours sleep, but it was so exciting, you know. I think that's what keeps me young. It's very stimulating. Now, that is a good side of it. There are also the other side, that I have gone through quite a bit of emotional things. All right, I have received a Chinese letter threatening my life. And I had to get somebody Chinese. I think it was your uncle that I had Bill Yip to translate it. Because why? They needed the money. They asked me on the phone, they want a job. Why can't I give it to them? And they threatened my life. If they don't get a job, why, they're going to do something to me. But I didn't, you know, I just let it go. I know that this was a threat. Then there is another one who came to my door. He is the brother of a very well-known Chinese person up in San Francisco. He actually came to my home up in the hill, rang my doorbell, and please, Bessie, begged me. He was crying because he needed the money. How can I give him a job when he isn't a union member? I cannot use anybody but union members. After all the union members are absorbed, then I can use them as waivers. So there are a lot of very sad things that are happening. The people that I realize, and I feel sorry for them, but there's nothing that I can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, supposing I wanted to be a movie star, like doing a quote. No, I go to you. What does an agent, you know, do? What do you have to do for, in order for, you know, someone to get a job as a movie extra star?
Well, of course, now I am very, very fortunate to have that Guy Lee, whom I have made him my partner to do all the dirty work. And I stay at home and enjoy myself. But this is the way we do it. When they come, we look at them and talk with them and kind of see what kind of personality they have. Then we would give them a script and ask them to take it home, to read it, to study it, and come back at another time and read for us. And of course, we only like to take people that are not duplicate of another person, you know, if we can do that. But of course, now sometimes we have to go more than that because sometimes they want the same type of people, you know, at a different show.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Well,
did I tell you? Yeah, I told you.
Now, what about, you know, the chances of an Asian actor or actress making a livelihood, you know, from acting?
Well, there are a few that are solely dependent upon working in pictures, and they seem to do all right because they are good actors. They have gotten big parts. They have demanded a high salary, that if they work 1 week, probably is better than 3 months time of some other menial work, some other type of work, you know. It all depends upon the person. They have to start from the very low, and we gradually ask for more and more. If he got 500 today, we try to reach 1,000 tomorrow. So we are continuously bickering and dickering and negotiating with the studios. And sometimes, you know I do. I get kind of emotional when we lose something. When we lose something for our actors, but that's being human. It's human nature. They are rather tricky. It's a kind of a business. It's a crazy business, but we all seem to like it.
Now, in a magazine interview, you had mentioned that, you know, movies run on themes, and they seem to go in cycles. Like, they'll have musicals 1 year, or they'll have westerns or war movies or something like that. Now, how has this affected, you know, your work or the work of actors and actresses with this, you know, cycling? Are there lean years and good years? What have some of those lean years been, or what have some of those good years been for you?
Well, a cycle doesn't mean very much to us, as long as we don't care what kind of cycles they go to, as long as they use Asian Pacific actors. We don't care. We're trying to sell them. Like for instance, there'd be a hospital, nurses. We subscribe to a breakdown, which we pay quite a bit, weekly breakdown, what the studios are doing. And Guy would look through the breakdown and see which person fits which person, and then we will send the pictures to them. In my time, when I was doing it, all I had to do is try to talk to them, you must see such and such a person, because he's qualified, he's just like what you want. But nowadays, because of television, there is such a pressure for the casting offices that they cannot spend the time to see each one. So they ask us to send pictures. If we don't bring pictures to them, and if they don't look at the pictures, well, then they're out. So anybody who wants to become an actor or actress, they must have pictures for us, because we have to take it to the studio and then they watch it. This is a person for that right part. Now I want to see him, I want to see her. So regardless what we do, lots of times we cannot try to push somebody in unless they select them. Unless they are the people that are established, like Beulah, Key Lu, Robert Ito, Yuki Shimoda, all these people, Richard Liu, you know. Then, some of them have no imagination. They still want to see the picture. They still want to interview them. As I said before, it's a crazy business, and it still is.
Do you recall any kind of amusing incident in which, you know, which involved one of your clients or anything with the studio or anything like that?
No, but I do have something here.
Oh, what is that?
Yeah, some of them I do, but I think I better not. But I do want to tell you, besides the fun collecting and gathering the old clothes and things for China Relief, we also did a play with Princess Jerling that we raised fun at the Wuxi event. It's called The Yellow Jacket. We were in rehearsal for 3 months, mind you, learning the Chinese way of walking and the Chinese opera type. And we did 2 whole months of learning how to do these things. That's why now whenever they have a traditional fashion show, they have me there so that I could have these girls teach them how to walk their way, the opera way. And I have a book here that maybe you'd like to see. This is the Yellow Jacket that we did at the Wilshire Bell to raise funds. I'll tell you where our money went to. Everything that we do, we have always have something to show for. And this was directed by Sue Young. Some of you know Sue Young. And Jane Zeman Lee. Jane Zeman Lee was the technical advisor to Good Earth. And of course, now that they're so, he's gone. And this Yellow Jacket, we starred Princess Jerling. It's a play. She was the princess. I was one of the princesses in waiting. That was one thing. Then this Yellow Jacket, I tell you who was in it. A lot of you know Billy Lee of J-Tree. Well, she was the cutest little actress. She played a part of Soul, a maid. And then there was Mrs. Tyrus Wong. You all know Ruth Wong. She was also in this play. That's why I wanted to mention this.
What year was that?
Huh?
What year was that?
About 1930, I think. You know, this is program here. And I tell you where the proceeds went to. Everything that we, the proceeds went to the Chinese War Sufferer through following agencies. International Medical Relief Society, Hong Kong. The Hong Kong Chinese Women Relief Association, Hong Kong. The Canton International Red Cross, Canton. So, you know, in our days, very few people, I don't believe any of us know except maybe Dorothy, because she was part of us at that time. She was a very young girl at that time. We really came out and did. We were very cooperative. We were very patriotic, and we did everything we can to help our mother's country. A little bit later, I'll show you. I know Dolores, you were interested in Honorable Wu. He was also here. He played the part of Daffodil. And Grace Lam, and of course, Jessica. Oh, some of them now, they're gone. Quite a number of them are gone now. And also Iris Wong. Iris Wong used to be here, maybe some of you know. Do you know her? Yeah. Well, she was also in this play. And Mari Young, she's here, now she's married. She used to be with the meat markets, you know, Mari Young. Well, anyway, doesn't matter.
Okay. Now, we'll bring you forward into time. Now, during the early 1950s, when there was, you know, a fear of communism in this country, the actions of the Un-American Activity Committee and, you know, McCarthy, but had adverse effect, you know, on the lives and careers of many Hollywood stars and writers. Now, did this era, you know, affect the Asian actors and actresses? Were you, you know, did you become involved in any way in this this period of time?
I think only indirectly, because I remember I joined up a class at that time. It was a motion picture producing class. I know that James Wong Howe was one of the lecturers, was sort of a seminar, And then we had Dimitri, different ones there, and some of them with the McCarthy, not apprehended, huh?
Right.
They were blacklisted, you know, and then finally they found him. But I don't think it really affected us, because as I said before, it's just like the cycles. As long as there's a heart for an Oriental, we fit in anything, you see. And I sometimes wonder, some of our Chinese people now are beginning to, you know, have a little deep set eyes and a little bit higher bridge, and maybe someday we'll be able to play their parts too. They're beginning to be a little bit broader.
No, we've had, you know, some recent news about, you know, the Charlie Chan show because of the derogatory roles. Now, in the past, there have, you know, been other derogatory roles, I'm sure, that, you know, Chinese or Asian actors and actresses have been involved in. Has there been any early protest against this sort of a thing before? You know, this kind of a thing has happened recently. Was there anything in the past, or?
Well, as far as Charlie Chan is concerned, I think it started just at the time when they were trying to make a series at Universal. But prior to that, I can tell you in my days, at Allied Artists, they made the Opium Eater. And we were up in arms. I told all my actors, I'm not going to give them a job. They must boycott that. Because it's a classic, but still I didn't like, the title or the content. So we boycott that. Then there was a picture. This came before the Opium Eater, the Shanghai Gesture. Now, we didn't like that. Cinema Players, as a group of people we are, we talk things over. We had a clubhouse, we can meet, and we all did. So we all decided we're going to boycott the Shanghai Gesture. All right, we were staying home. What did this organization do that stopped us from collecting money for China? They went ahead and said, we'll help you. When the producers went up there to solicit their business, and they, all right, hired the
About how many Asian actors and actresses are there, do you think?
What do you mean that?
Mm-hmm. About numbers?
I really can't say, because nowadays there's so many Vietnamese people coming in, infiltrating, and they say they're Chinese, and and everybody plays they're Chinese. If they're Japanese, they all say they're Japanese. So I really don't know. I just know how many people we have in our stable, that's all.
Oh, I see. How many is that?
Well, I would say different categories. You know, we have different, the very top and the middle and the lower. We have children, we have men, we have women. So we have a total of about over 100, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, as you look back, you know, over your long career, and it's been a very unusual one, you know, what are some of your feelings? Do you feel that you've had an easy time as an Asian, as you've gotten started? Has it been a difficult time for you?
Well, there are times that I feel it's quite difficult, and then there are other times I didn't mind it. I think all in a whole is my attitude. As a whole, I think I have been treated very nicely. Everywhere I went, I think they treated me well, you know. And for instance now, when they were making, was it Blood Alley or something, or there was another, I don't quite remember what show it was. There were children there, and then there would be assistant director came out there and start, you do this, you do this, and start using four-letter words. So I went right up to the assistant director. I said, listen here, there are children here, and I certainly appreciate if you would not use any four-letter words. And then there are times that when they call us chink, and I told them, I do not like to hear that word. And if you are educated, you certainly would not look up in the library and see what chink means, you know. So I have many times, there are little occasions like that that come up that I have gone up there. Then I may be very docile and easygoing, but when I fight, believe me, I sure fight.
Thank you. Are there any questions that anybody wants to ask, Betsy, from the audience? Back there.
Yes, in the ad-libbing they do. In the ad-libbing, you just, that you do not get paid, and they make up their own lines according to the atmosphere or environment.
But does anyone ever check to see what they're saying?
Well, so far, I don't believe. Oh, yes. There was Sammy Tong. You know, he likes the big funny things, you know. But nothing really too objectionable. But he likes to say something funny, maybe just slightly off color, you know, because he thinks it's funny. And it was funny. No, they love us. Because, for instance, like Richard Liu, boy, the meaner that role is, the better it is for him.
Okay, one more question from anybody.
Just a general question. It's very sad that even other people were involved in the film business, that it has such an impact on popular culture. And the question is, how would you compare the impact of, say, movies upon, you know, what happens in our society now versus, say, like in the 30s, and I'm thinking, you know, just Saturday Night Fever created fashion, created the following, the dances, you know, the impact upon that on society, is it more now or less?
Well, I think it all depends upon the group and the community. As I saw last night, the town in Japan, you know how they're doing all this rock and roll and whiskey and so forth. Now, I think, is that what you mean? Is that what you mean, whether there's any impact from the influence of seeing the picture? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Yes. I think it does to a certain extent to the other countries, you know.
Well, I'm saying now in 1981 versus say in the 30s, does the media have more power now in influencing our lives than before?
I think so, because of television. Now that there are television, it's in everyone's home, and they view it and they imitate it. You know, I think there is. In the 30s, I don't believe there were that great an influence. You know.
Thank you very much, Betsy.
End segment.